And we're now going to read together from Genesis and chapter 7 and verse 17. Genesis chapter 7 is the first book of the Bible. It's on page 9. We're going to read just coming to the end of chapter 7. We're going to read to the end of chapter 8. And then after I read, we're going to sing, and then Pete Nixon is going to come up and give us a short book review, and then he's going to pray for us. Let's read from Genesis chapter 7. For 40 days, the flood kept coming on the earth. And as the waters increased, they lifted the ark high above the earth. The waters rose and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the surface of the water. They rose greatly on the earth, and all the high mountains under the entire heavens were covered. The waters rose and covered the mountains to a depth of more than 15 cubits. Every living thing that moved on land perished. Birds, livestock, wild animals, all the creatures that swam, that swarm over the earth, and all mankind. Everything on dry land that had the breath of life in its nostrils died. Every living thing on the face of the earth was wiped out. People and animals and the creatures that move along the ground and the birds were wiped from the earth. Only Noah was left and those with him in the ark. The waters flooded the earth for 150 days. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark. And he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. Now the springs of the deep and the floodgates of the heavens had been closed, and the rain had stopped falling from the sky. The waters receded steadily from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the water had gone down. And on the 17th day of the seventh month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. The waters continued to recede until the 10th month, and on the first day of the 10th month, the tops of the mountains became visible. After 40 days, Noah opened a window he had made in the ark and sent out a raven, and it kept flying back and forth until the water had dried up from the earth. Then he sent out a dove to see if the water had receded from the surface of the ground, but the dove could find nowhere to perch because there was water over all the surface of the earth. So it returned to Noah in the ark. He reached out his hand and took the dove and brought it back to himself in the ark. He waited 7 more days and again sent out the dove from the ark. And when the dove returned to him in the evening, there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. And then Noah knew that the water had receded from the earth. He waited 7 more days and sent the dove out again, but this time it did not return to him. By the first day of the first month of Noah's 601st year, the water had dried up from the earth. Noah then removed the covering from the ark and saw that the surface of the ground was dry. And by the 27th day of the second month, the earth was completely dry. And then God said to Noah, "Come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring out every kind of living creature that is with you, the birds, the animals, and all the creatures that move along the ground, so that they can multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in number on it." So Noah came out together with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives, all the animals and all the creatures that move along the ground and all the birds, everything that moves on land came out of the ark, one kind after another. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, "Never again will I curse the ground because of humans. Even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood, And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. Amen. May the Lord bless to us God's word. The 1995 movie Waterworld is considered a box office flop. If you've seen it though, I'm guessing it will have stuck in your memory. It follows Kevin Costner as a lonely mariner helping others search for dry land. But it was once the most expensive movie ever made because they really did film it out in the middle of the ocean. They wanted to get a sense of the lonely and vast scale of being stuck on an earth completely covered in water. Reading through this, imagine Noah's loneliness, drifting in a large ship, not merely overnight, but night after night, month after month, for basically a year, with nothing else in sight. Now, during those months, faith or no faith, Noah must have wondered whether God had forgotten him and his family and the animals as they floated like refuse on the great tide. Yes, he's safe in the ark, but that didn't mean automatically it felt easy. Now, let's first of all bring this story down to earth by studying Noah himself, and especially Noah's faith. Have you ever felt abandoned? Have you ever felt alone? I have. Wanting to cry out, God, where are you? Why is this happening? What are you doing? Can you help me? Are you even there? Now, let's not pretend that Noah would have been sitting on the boat, all happy as Larry and smug. A disaster has happened. When we read, particularly the end of chapter 7, people he knew are gone. His house, his fields, his life as he knew it. It's a distant memory in the darkness of the boat. Now, the flood did not occur by chance. It was not normal. The storm was supernatural. And only those in the coffin-shaped ark survived. Like we saw last time when we looked at the earlier section of Noah's story, those of us reading or hearing this, we are afforded the perspective, looking backwards, to see the deep symbolism of this story. That here in the ark, there is salvation during the waves of judgment crashing down. Surely we can see Jesus here, taking onto himself all the judgment of God instead of us who are safe in him. Through his death alone, human beings can be saved and enjoy a new life and a new world to come. But Noah can't see everything we can see. We can't just relegate him to being a character in a kid's story. He's a real person in an apocalyptically adult story. Now put yourself in his shoes. Wouldn't you ask yourself, what on earth is going on here? How long do I wait? Why is nothing seemingly happening? Now the whole thing nearly lasts a year. Noah, Mrs. Noah, their sons, their wives, and all the animals had to endure 40 days, first of all, of relentless flooding, and then another 150 days, 5 months, on top of that, as the flood waters prevailed on the earth, And then as we break into chapter 8, we see that the waters begin to subside for another 150 days. And then the ark finally stops and rests in some mountains. Then we had in verse 6 to 12, the story focuses on the patience of Noah as he waited for God's deliverance. And he's waiting in mounting monotony. And after 40 more days, Noah sent out a raven that didn't return. It just kept on zigzagging across the waters. And then he sent out a dove on three separate journeys, waiting 7 days between each of the journeys for a total of another 54 days. As the dove returned once and then returned again with an olive leaf, and then it didn't return. I think some of us here today really need to hear the humanity of this story. Now, I don't fully know what you're going through today. You don't fully know what I'm going through. But I don't know everything in your lives. How much you might be waiting for some relief, for some let up in the pressure of your life. Now, if you're not a Christian here today, if you don't have a relationship with Christ that is actually freeing from guilt and shame, and is full of forgiveness of all the sin in our lives, then not only do you actually still know that same feeling of waiting for relief, but you also know fine well just by observing that Christians can still have that feeling of waiting for relief too. Noah's safe in the ark. But look at Noah's faith here. Not only did he do everything that God had commanded him over this 100-year period where he was building the ark, he then displayed astounding endurance and faith in the discomfort of his waiting for the end of the flood. And there's no recorded evidence that God spoke to Noah during the months that he was on the ark, but still he trusted. In the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, we learn more about Noah in chapter 11. And in verse 7, it says this: by faith, Noah, when warned about things to come, about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. What kind of person is saved from God's judgment? It's a person of faith. Noah heard the warnings of God's justice. He was called to build an ark, and Noah believed all of that. He became certain of what he couldn't yet see. And he kept on believing, even in the darkness of the ark, as it rocked high in the waves, he kept on. And even though he couldn't wrap his eyes and his head around everything, he became sure of what he hoped for. Namely, he became absolutely certain of the promise of salvation for himself and his family. And that dynamic certainty swept through his soul. Noah believed God. He had hope. He trusted. He relied that God would keep his word. Even when he couldn't see the flood that was coming during the 100 years he was building and so on, he couldn't see it coming at some point in the future. Even when the hardness of that reality was beating down on him, he was in the ark for so long, even in the loneliness, and with the patience as time stretched on and on in the ark, Noah believed by faith, trusting in the one who gave him the promise, who had given him that word. By faith, he held fast to the certainty of that hope. Hope isn't some wishy-washy thing. Oh, I hope that happens. Hope in the Bible is a certain trust. Noah kept on believing with the eyes of faith. Not with the perspective of his immediate and hard circumstances, as hard as they were. And you might be going through hard times in the immediate present. But with the eyes of faith, he trusted that God was not forgetting him. And he was right. So if we've looked at Noah's faith, we need to open with these words of chapter 8. But God remembered Noah. Pixar films are very good at making complex and adult themes relatable to a young audience and to an older audience. Now, if you've seen a film like Inside Out, a film that made me cry on a plane, that's got in it, emotions are displayed as little human beings, little human things inside of everyone's heads. And somehow this drove home how important it is to have a healthy relationship between the family of emotions that we all have inside of us. That style of giving human forms and words to non-human entities. It's a well-known and it's a powerful way to help us humans understand something complex. We're seeing the hinge of our story from Noah's point of view in the beginning of chapter 8, in verse 1. Those words, but God remembered Noah. Now, to Noah, to him, he surely felt forgotten. And he was wanting and waiting to be remembered. But looking at it from God's point of view, well, this is God speaking on our level. God is merely speaking here as if he were man. He's bringing it down to our level, letting us breathe in his truths through a way that we can understand. Yes, life often does feel. Even as a Christian, life often feels as if God has forgotten or doesn't care about us. But God here is reminding you and me and Noah, I remember. In fact, God never forgets anything. He's God. He's in total control. He's fully aware of everything with perfect recall of everything that ever happens. So even though a word like remembered is to help us understand, every time it's used about God in the Bible, God's remembering is deeper than just recollection. Actually, someone once said this: God's remembering always implies his movement towards the object. The essence of God's remembering lies in his acting towards someone because of a previous commitment. He's moving towards you because of a previous promise. There's an action. When God remembers, he acts. In Genesis 19, when it says God remembered Abraham, he saved Lot. In Genesis 30, when God remembered Rachel, she conceived. There's an action attached to his remembering because he's moving towards the object of his promise. Does this speak to your heart today? God is giving Noah and us the dignity of what you feel when you think you've been forgotten, while at the same time, he's telling us he is not forgetting you. Today, hear me on this. He is not forgetting you. He's remembering you even when nothing seems to be happening. Now, God remembered Noah in four ways. First of all, Noah was already in the ark. He was already safe. He was already remembered and cared for and had been acted towards by God. He already kept his promise. The only way to live, to not suffer the judgment that mankind deserved, the only way to live was already his. He already had it. And now for us, we need to remember that God already remembered us so much that he sent Jesus to die for us. Our ark has already come. The door is open. Some of us, we already know and we enjoy this, but some of us need to remember this again. Jesus has already come. God has already remembered you in the most fundamental way that you need. Secondly, God remembered Noah by removing the water. But it was a long process. Now you can see, yes, the difference between day one and day 150. Day one, tons of water. Day 150, far less water. That's obvious when you compare those 2 days, but it's not so clear across the day by day. Maybe you struggle to see God at work in your life on a day-to-day level. But sometimes it's healthy to pull back, to look further. And it may be that you can see the difference God has made in your life compared to 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. You can see his hand. You can see his love. You can see his care. You can see the growth. Maybe not day to day. Look back. Look further. Look at the day one and the day 150. For Noah, God was definitely peeling back the waters. Just like creation in Genesis 1, chaos was turning into order again. It was a slow act of new, of recreation. Now that's what God does in the lives of anyone that believes in him. He gives us a taste of the perfect new world to come that he's preparing for us after life here on earth, by beginning that change slowly in the life of the true Christian. God also remembered Noah by giving him little signs. Noah wanted to know if the ground was dry enough. And the second time the dove came back, it had a little freshly plucked olive leaf in its beak. A little token of peace to let Noah know judgment was past. Sometimes we can get little signs that God is really there. Signs of assurance. God's assurances that what we are enduring, what we're going through, is not mere chance, but rather as hard as it can sometimes be and as mysterious as it can sometimes be. Rather, it is part of the wise and loving plan of God. God does not always spare us the distress, but he has a way of reassuring us that he has not forgotten us, that he remembers us in our distress, and that he's still at work. And the fourth way that God remembered Noah was by his words. At the end of the whole episode, God speaks to Noah. Verse 16. Come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring out every kind of living creature that is with you, so they can multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in number on it. I wonder if you're like me, and you've gone through a season where you've not been able to connect with God speaking to you through the Bible. They can be short seasons. They can be long seasons. Maybe you're going through a period now where God seems to be silent. You open the Bible and you feel cold. But as soon here as God spoke, Noah immediately obeyed. He was ready, because in the ark he had been practicing obedience even during the dark hours. He had been meditating and depending and trusting so much in the words that he knew were true, in the words that he was told all that time ago. He knew it was true. He depended on it. He trusted in it more than the wide open sea that screamed at him that he had seemed to be, that he was forgotten and lost. He trusted in the words long past, because he had been practicing obedience to those words, even when it feels like we're hearing nothing. For us, we need to be praying and reading, practicing obedience when it feels like God isn't speaking to us. We need to be practicing that obedience to wait for God to speak, to keep on opening our Bibles, to keep on reading, to keep on trusting in the words that we know are true, regardless of the feeling, regardless of our circumstances. But the fact that God remembers is not the big surprise in this story, though. Actually, God has already shown his commitment to acting on his promises. Jesus was promised. Jesus came. God promised to show us mercy and grace from the judgment of sin. And he did it through himself paying for it on the cross. Jesus dying on our behalf. And God has also made us promises that are open right now. Romans 10, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What we sang earlier, Matthew chapter 7, ask and it will be given unto you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Now, to those of us who don't know what it means to be remembered by God, who are still stuck in the same old cycles of sin and the same old guilt and despair and shame, God has made promises to you and to me that are real and open right now. Now call out to God and he will break into your life, your experience, and it will be as if he remembers you. Because of Jesus, he will forgive you for your sin. Because of Jesus, he will free you from your guilt. He will make you new, free to live with him and for him. It can be too easy for me as a Christian to forget the freedom of Jesus Christ. Like a gospel amnesia that often surrounds my heart and dictates my spiritual mood, like an overcast day. But the big surprise of this story is that Noah remembered God. After all of this, after this season of darkness in the ark, he came out of the ark and his first thought was Godward. Verse 20, then Noah built an altar to the Lord, taking some of the clean animals and clean birds. He sacrificed burnt offerings. It was total surrender and dedication to God as he worshipped and celebrated God. He knew, he trusted that God had been with him the whole time. So we have to remember God in the same way, because he has remembered us. He is remembering you. And the challenge goes out. Ecclesiastes 12, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. You're young enough if you're still alive. You're not as old as dead. There's still time. Remember. Remember God now. Call on him now. Now is the time to remember, to hang on, to rely on, to worship God to the end. Whatever your circumstances, whatever your season, from old to young, in sickness and in health, remember God. And the God who remembers you will be your joy and your comfort both now and in the life to come. Amen.